Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. We're going to get things going, of course, in just a minute with your week in review. And a lot to discuss this week with The Fiend's attack on Alexa Bliss. That probably is the headline of the week. Randy Orton hitting an RKO on Drew McIntyre. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose are not yet done with one another. And a lot more. So we're going to get everything going right after this.
What is the Onyx Learner Academy? It's the next century digital experience that gives you the tools you need to learn any topic on your own, any field, any profession, any passion. Become an expert in your field on your time. This is not an online course. This is a digital revolution that uses strategic thinking to help you develop self-determined learning skills that last your whole life. We teach you how to learn on your own. Through a groundbreaking 9-step process, you'll be guided through your own personal learning journey. What that journey is and where it takes you is completely up to you. Our content is divided into distinct, easily digestible sections that progressively bring you toward learning mastery. That's right, you can start becoming a master in any field today. And with interactive graphics, videos, and robust informational content, you'll be well on your way to building your talent stack and achieving your dreams. Are you ready for life's journey? Enroll in the Onyx Learner Academy today and face tomorrow with confidence.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Because Stone Cold said so.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast on this Sunday, August 2nd, 2020. August is here. August is here. Baseball's here. The NFL's around the corner. The NBA's back. And boy, even those fake audiences help, don't they? Those painted in, those CGI audiences certainly help the presentation, even if you know that it's not real. It just helps. It just certainly helps. And can't keep the politics out of sports, even though you go there to get away from it. Don't worry. Politics are now a mainstream stay in Major League Sports. So no worries. Whether you fall on one side or the other, they're in your face. So, but not in pro wrestling. Pro wrestling seems to be, so far in terms of storyline, immune to all the politics and things, which is a good thing. Because I don't think even if you agree with it or not, it's a good thing to incorporate that stuff in a world that you just want to escape reality from. That's the whole point of sports. Whether it's a simulated sport like pro wrestling or an actual competition like baseball, football, basketball, hockey, I don't think it has its place at all in Major League Sports or simulated sports in the WWE land, in a place that, again, you escape reality by going here and now you can't even escape there. It's like you can go to your dreams to really do and be whatever you want, but it's infiltrating your dreams and your imagination. It's crazy. So anyway, thank you guys for joining me as we roll into August. And it's SummerSlam season. That's a good thing. We are just a few weeks away from SummerSlam. That comes to you in, 3 weeks now? I think it's 3 weeks away from tonight. Amazingly, I feel like it was 5 weeks, 6 weeks, just yesterday. And we are rolling quickly, very quickly into SummerSlam. And rumors are floating around that WWE could be doing a different location for SummerSlam. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means actual fans and not the robots that WWE puts in the audience. I don't know. Maybe they do want to switch it up somehow if protocols allow it. And we'll have to see. Certainly we welcome change. I don't want a full cinematic presentation of wrestling for SummerSlam, that's for sure. But I would welcome a change of scenery. I mean, I think we have certainly seen enough of the Performance Center. I mean, I don't know about you. I think I've seen every angle of that performance center that I'll never need to visit it in person. Like, I've seen it all. I've seen the weight room. I've seen the backstage areas. I've seen the other rings they have in different areas of the complex. I've seen, obviously, where they keep the trucks. I've seen enough. The gorilla position, enough is enough. Let's move it out of the performance center if we can, right? I'm not advocating for going to an area that's unsafe or they're putting themselves at risk, but boy, oh boy, I don't know about you guys, but I am over the performance center, just over it. And I think I speak for many fans when I say that. As we approach now nearly 5 months, we are just a couple of weeks away from the 5 month mark since this whole thing took over and has dominated our lives. And we knew that it was going to be an undetermined amount of time when this whole thing started. So certainly, you know, as we continue, time is in our on our side here, because we want time to go as quickly as possible to just get back to the fans in the arena, the no masks, the, you know, sit on top of each other, make out with one another if you want. I really miss that a lot. So, all right. Well, before I get going here, I want to give a shout out to the Botch Guy on YouTube. Really, really, really good YouTube channel, growing quickly and gives nice, quick reactions to things, and just has a nice cadence to the way he puts things, or a nice voice and a nice pace to the way he explains things. And the audio quality is obviously very good. The way that he does things, where he reacts to certain things that happen on Raw or SmackDown, it's not a 45-minute or an hour video. I know some of you like the long form, but sometimes you want the short snippet stuff. This guy's got it. The Botch Guy has got it. And he recently put one up. His latest video, as we speak now, was The Fiend attacking Alexa Bliss. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. That'll be the first thing I discuss. But it's just a couple of minutes. And he reacts to it and explains why he doesn't think that it's the Sister Abigail storyline that many of us thought it could be, and who he originally thought it might be that The Fiend attacked. And it's very good. It's very well done, and I'd encourage you guys to go over to the Botch Guy, on YouTube. And it's also cool because him and I are going to be doing a collaboration for SummerSlam, for the review of SummerSlam. So we will be giving details of that forthcoming, but him and I will be joining forces for the SummerSlam review that will be taking place probably that Monday. But that would be my guess that the date that will land on, but more details coming. So also, guys, check out our website, wwepodcast.com. We have a new article up about why next year's WrestleMania should be Edge's last match. And our latest, newest, and greatest contributor here of Cody Churchill gives a very eloquent reasoning and justification for why that should be Edge's final match. So go on and check it out. It's under the opinions column. It's also on our featured page. You can't miss it. So, oh, by the way, if you want an ad-free experience, head on over to Patreon, patreon.com/WWE podcast. All of these episodes are 100% ad-free. So I know that will entice some of you to be like, oh my God, just get me to the wrestling content and of the ads. That's where you go. Patreon.com/WWE podcast. Okay. I'm also on Instagram. Last thing, WWE_podcast. I have no other social media because, I don't know, social media gods hate me, and I've been, like, you know, kicked off of Twitter and Facebook. So, Instagram is my sole lonely place to go. WWE_podcast. Okay. Let's get into Alexa Bliss being attacked by The Fiend. Now, this came at the conclusion of SmackDown. And after a very good match, another very good match between Nikki Cross and Bayley. And, you know, you got to say, Nikki Cross has certainly been a top candidate for a breakout star of the year. You can make that case. You know, if you're going to do a slammy today, you could easily make Nikki Cross the breakout star of the year. You really could. Yeah, you could say Drew McIntyre, but he's kind of a different story. He was designed and planned this way. I don't think Nikki Cross was. You know, she was paired with Alexa. We all thought Alexa was going to turn on Nikki. And now we're starting to see cracks and evidence of the opposite, where Nikki Cross has seemingly gotten frustrated and shoved Alexa to the ground this week after she lost clean to Bayley, by the way, and we also saw evidence of it last week when she just quickly accepted fighting her own best friend, the one that she's been obsessed with for many, many, many months. She just, without even thinking, said, "Yeah, I accept. We have to do this." And she just put her friendship underneath her own gain of her own selfish wants and needs of the SmackDown Women's Title. So Alexa Bliss, or I'm sorry, Nikki Cross, really is the heel here, and I thought she should be from the beginning. When we all thought that Alexa Bliss was going to be the one to turn on Nikki, Alexa Bliss, I think, has been underutilized for many months now, many months overlooked, or just kind of put on the shelf or to the sidelines of "you'll get your turn, just wait." And we certainly got that this week, and I'll get to my thoughts on that too. But the women's match with Bayley and Nikki Cross, very good. I mean, these two work very well together. I wouldn't mind seeing future matches at some point. But the whole deal of Alexa Bliss getting shoved to the mat after the match is indicative, I think, of things to come. And I'm fine with this team splitting up if it means that it's bigger things for Alexa and for Nikki, for that matter. Yes, granted, the women's tag team division is thin as it is. So, you know, you have like four teams or three teams. So it doesn't really mean a whole lot for the SmackDown tag team champions or the women's tag team champions, because there's only a few teams to compete with. So it's kind of like playing round robin with the belts. Who gets it, you know, this month? Who gets it in a few months? It doesn't mean a whole lot. So if the focus is not on the women's tag team division, and never has been, it's always about building single stars, then this makes perfect sense. Because you can really make Alexa Bliss a character you can get invested in, and she has justification for it. You know, Nikki Cross just decided to put the title over their friendship, frustrated after the match, that's strike two. And Bayley winning clean, by the way, was nice. It was nice that she didn't do some kind of underhanded thing. I know that's what heels do, and I get it, and the formula works, but not every time. I want Bayley to show a little bit of credibility that she's not just a champion that kind of lucked into it. And that's important because, yeah, heels are supposed to be kind of chicken, you know what, but you want credibility behind them, because that will mean more when you have a babyface come up, stand up to the heel, and finally beat that heel. It'll mean more. So I liked Bayley getting the clean victory. It wasn't a silly roll-up that WWE's been constantly doing. At least, you know, once or twice a show, they do the roll-up, or the schoolboy, or the from-behind roll-up, or whatever it may be, the sunset flip roll-up. I don't know. There's always some kind of variation of the roll-up, even though they're kicking each other in the heads. But we got a nice match from these two, and we had Bayley come out clean. That was very important. It's not always about Bayley cheating to win. That is, to me, it should be Bayley cheating to win when she has no other alternative and she does whatever she can to win. So I like that. Now, as far as Bayley or Alexa Bliss being attacked by the Fiend, boy, I don't think anybody saw this coming. Alexa Bliss made an appearance in the swamp fight between Braun Strowman and the cult leader, the swamp cult leader of that version of Bray Wyatt. She made an appearance. And preceding that, if you remember the mixed match challenge, they teased a little bit of romance between these two. So there is a history that they pulled on, and I can't believe they even resurrected that. Somebody must have been really thinking, because that is not something that I thought they would ever go back to. It's been so long since that happened that the fact that they went back to it is surprising. I think it's encouraging, because God forbid they ever remember something that happened from, you know, even 2 weeks ago, much less 6 months ago. So good idea, because it humanizes Braun Strowman. It gives another badly, desperately needed depth, another layer to Braun Strowman and his character that is very one-dimensional, very one-dimensional. We all know what Braun Strowman is. He's just a muscular guy. He's the monster among men. And now he's suddenly the Strowman Express that some, you know, some guy in the production meeting or a writer came up with, like, oh, he's like a locomotive. And somebody came up with a stupid train gimmick. Like, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not a fan of the Stroman Express. It's so forced, and like someone just sat in a production meeting and came up with it. That's what it feels like. It doesn't fit anything. But it's marketing. You got to kind of move on from the Monster Among Men. I get it. You can't live on that. However, this does add depth to his character because it shows that he has emotion, that he actually is not just about destruction and picking things up and putting them down and pulling down big, heavy, you know, scaffolding or lifting up an ambulance or whatever silly nonsense he does that we all were enamored with that WWE just absolutely pounded into the ground. They pounded that into the ground about Braun Strowman just doing silly stuff like that, just stunts upon stunts. When they find something, they beat it to death instead of milking it and realizing what they have and asking fans to ask for more rather than going, oh my God, we've seen this, right? But this, again, is a good thing for Braun because now there's a little bit of a possible love interest in there. You have the Fiend attacking Alexa, who did a great job of showing fear. Great job. It wasn't oversold. It wasn't undersold. It was just the right amount of emotion and being able to show that fear that looks authentic without overacting. That could have been a segment that could have been easily overacted. And Alexa Bliss did just a phenomenal job of selling it of genuine fear. So great job out of Alexa, who to me is the unsung hero here. And having the Fiend do what he did, the way he did it, was great. I think this really might turn the fans. If this was in front of a live audience, I think this may have finally started to turn the tide of the fans against the Fiend, because Alexa is a beloved figure. And you don't see a whole lot of man-on-woman violence at all. You don't even see the men retaliate when the women kick him in the nuts or they slap him in the face. They're just supposed to take it because they're guys, which is a whole bunch of BS. I mean, honestly, real life or in professional sports, sorry, yeah, that doesn't fly to me. However, in WWE's advertiser-friendly, concerned-about-sponsors world, they'll never go back to that. So I was very surprised, although Randy Orton did RKO Nia Jax at the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago, hallelujah to that. But this was very surprising that they had this happen. I'm thinking it wasn't a beatdown, right? It wasn't like somebody hitting their finish on a woman or using a steel chair to beat them down or something like that. This was a very slow, methodical, probably the softest thing you could do in terms of a man on woman bump. And they did that. And they did it in a way that was, I think, tastefully done, in a way that was authentically scary. And I also understand WWE's concern about sponsors. And by the way, guys, the reason I'm bringing that up too about the sponsors and them being concerned, Eric Bischoff recently was on a podcast, and I won't plug it because I don't plug those podcasts for free, but you can find it on YouTube, and talked about WWE and how people don't understand that most of their revenue comes from the TV deals, comes from sponsorships and advertisements, and that the fans, while they're important in terms of money, really aren't the most important, so they have to be careful of the storylines they present. And they have to be careful of not really angering the sponsors, because that's really their lifeblood of revenue, are the sponsors and TV deals. To which I would say to Eric Bischoff, doesn't mean you should ignore coherent storytelling. I'm not saying do a crazy angle that is just off the wall and may piss off sponsors. At the same time, it doesn't mean you have to sacrifice just basic storytelling logic for TV presentation, and that's the key. It's not about doing blood, guts, and, angering sponsors and just worrying about only pleasing the fans. No, but you can have both. You can be a good storyteller and reward fans for paying attention to detail and have long-term plans. And you can also make sure that you're not doing angles that are super controversial that may anger your sponsors. Makes sense. So it's not one or the other. You can have both. So that's what I would say to Eric Bischoff. For those of you that haven't heard it, go listen. go listen to it. It's a very interesting take on Eric Bischoff's time in WWE before he got fired again and all that. So anyway, back to Alexa Bliss. I like this because you can go a couple of different ways here. There are some things you can do, and here's how I think it's going to play out. Here's what I think is going to happen. Next week on SmackDown, Braun Strowman may open Raw or open SmackDown, or maybe Alexa Bliss does, or maybe she's only in backstage because she's too afraid to come out. I don't know, but she's going to emote fear and basically like PTSD. She's going to be showing that she is just absolutely fearful, that she didn't know what to expect, why it happened, everything. Like, she's going to be absolutely fearful and confused. And she'll lead into that. Maybe Braun Strowman will come out and address this, and he'll say, why don't you pick somebody on your own size, right? Pick on somebody your own size, I'll get it right, and stand up for Alexa. Because there was that little bit of a love interest. We'll see how far that goes. That's probably how it's going to start, and will continue for a few weeks. And maybe Alexa comes to ringside at SummerSlam to join Braun Strowman at ringside and maybe try to overcome her fear and get a little bit of payback on The Fiend. But here's what's going to happen. A couple things. I got a couple things in mind. Number one, Alexa could help Braun Strowman win and retain the Universal Championship. But I think more likely, Alexa Bliss joins The Fiend, turns her back on Braun Strowman, and becomes a dark character. How about that? Think about that for Alexa Bliss. I think she's underrated in her mic skills, or at least WWE has not utilized her to her full ability. She's got a great press. She reminds me a little bit of Zelina Vega. Like, Zelina Vega is a little bit more quick-witted, and I think has a little bit more depth in terms of her promo, but Alexa Bliss isn't far behind. I like Alexa's style. I really do. And I think if given enough push, she could be on Zelina Vega's level. But I think she turns on Braun Strowman. I do. Turning her... Now, I don't think she's Sister Abigail, okay? Randy Orton burned that down. Apparently, you know, her ashes even got burned. Whatever. If she's Sister Abigail, I would love to have them explain how the hell that's possible. I wouldn't put it past them, but that would be a big flop. I think it should just be Bray Wyatt attacking somebody much weaker than himself that he knows has an emotional attachment to Braun Strowman's past. So he's trying to attack Braun Strowman's heart. So he attacked his mind and his body. Now it's his heart, right? I think that's the logic. But Alexa Bliss joining him, imagine her joining forces with The Fiend, coming out in dark makeup, and those eyes of hers would be absolutely amazing. Kind of being the evil female sidekick to The Fiend. I think it'd be brilliant. It would be like, I don't know, it's the best analogy in my mind. Remember when Vince McMahon faced Triple H in 1999? I think it was, no, maybe it was 98. 98, 99. Actually, I think it was 99. Armageddon of 99, if I'm not mistaken. Having Stephanie come out and at the end of the match say that she wants to hit Triple H with the sledgehammer, and she ends up being disarmed by Triple H, who hits Vince in the head with a sledgehammer and then ends up joining Triple H. I feel like it's going to be a little bit of that, where she has that evil smile at the end of the match and she just completely changes. And don't forget, that's the whole thing with The Fiend. The Fiend is all about changing people, and he has done that. He has done that with almost everyone that he's faced. The Miz, he's done that with Daniel Bryan. He's done that with Braun Strowman to some extent. We'll see how much that continues. There's a list. Seth Rollins. I mean, when you look at the opponents that he's faced, there has been some kind of change in that character. Darker, deeper, right? So this would make sense that Alexa Bliss follows suit and turns into maybe his female, I don't know, female sidekick, like first lieutenant or something like that. There's something there. I just hope they capitalize on it and it's not just a straightforward, oh, well, I'm suddenly scared of The Fiend and it's over. No, this can't be. Alexa Bliss is too valuable of a piece to just kind of use as a standard prop for Braun Strowman versus The Fiend. There's got to be something more. I hope there is, as many of you do too. So All right, boy, I've spent like 20 minutes on this already because it's so fascinating because you don't see this very often, particularly man on woman violence in any capacity whatsoever. So it's intriguing in that perspective. The Fiend and Bray Wyatt, they seem like two different worlds. Why, you know, what's happening? It was a great, great way to end SmackDown. Loved it. Loved it. Very unexpected. And we'll have to see where they go. Okay, moving on here to a little bit of something else on SmackDown. And that's AJ Styles retaining his Intercontinental Championship as they open the show. And we had AJ Styles against Gran Metalik. And he won via submission to retain the Intercontinental Championship. Good match, about as good as you probably thought it was going to be, and the outcome was exactly what you thought it would be. AJ Styles won via the submission, and then proceeded, after the match, to attack Lince Dorado and handle Styles' clash on him. That, I think, sets up a Styles versus Lince Dorado match at maybe next SmackDown. But, you know, honestly, where the hell is this going with AJ Styles? I mean, AJ right now is messing around with the mid-card. And I'm not sure where they're going with it. Could we have Big E versus AJ Styles at SummerSlam with Big E capturing the Intercontinental Championship? Probably. I think that's where they're going to go, given Big E is now on his own. And we'll get to my thoughts on that, which back and forth on. So we have King Corbin also versus Drew Gulak. And that seems to be, you know, a match that I think many fans are a little bit dry on. Anything King Corbin does is a little bit dry, isn't it? It's just, and having Drew Gulak out there and not allowing Drew Gulak to have any kind of voice is hurting him, because he's good in the ring. He's great in the ring. That's not the problem. The problem is, if you don't give this guy a voice, he's going to fade into the background. He's going to be like the wallpaper. He's not going to really be something that stands out. It's just kind of there. It's always there. It's reliable. But it doesn't say or do much. And that's what I don't want Drew Gulak to have. I mean, yeah, the rub from Daniel Bryan certainly helped. And now Daniel Bryan is away for a while, as Brie had another child. And it's probably going to be a while. So this makes sense why they faded Daniel Bryan out. But he needs to kind of stand on his own two feet. I need Drew Gulak to tell me something about himself. Do something basic. And instead of doing any PowerPoint presentations or using Daniel Bryan as a crutch to launch your character off of, stand on your own two damn feet. Come up with something. You don't just come out there and wrestle and walk away. As great as he is, I need something more from Drew if I'm going to care about the character. You know, with Baron Corbin, honestly, he's a guy that, we've said it many times on this show, is a very, I think, underwhelming heel because of the fact that WWE just never decides to make him build heat in any kind of long-term capacity. And when I say long-term, I mean more than a week. And so they built a little heat on him this week, but having him attacked from behind by Drew Gulak, who's the babyface, I don't get it. I think, again, this is a pit stop for Corbin to get to Matt Riddle. I think that's probably where this is at, is SummerSlam, King Corbin versus Matt Riddle, with Matt Riddle going over. That's my guess. But this was honestly not really a match that, it was fine, it was okay, but the biggest story here was Shorty G, right? Shorty G, Chad Gable. I call him Chad Gable. I hate the Shorty G thing. So Chad Gable comes out and looks like he's cashing in on the King's Ransom, which hasn't ever been defined, by the way. Is a King's Ransom, what is that? Is that a unit of measure? How much is a King's Ransom? Did I miss it? Maybe I did. And if I did, let me know. I have no idea what a King's Ransom is actually valued at. We know what the expression means. We know what's implied is a lot of money. But is it even money? I mean, I don't know. If I was going to do something like that, I would at least find it, get a dollar amount on it. But he seems to cash in on Riddle as he ends up giving Riddle, who came out and attacked Baron Corbin, by the way, who attacked Baron Corbin after the match with Shorty G, with Drew Gulak, but it's a lot of players in this, and gave him a single German suplex. Shorty G, Chad Gable, gave Matt Riddle a single German suplex and then did the little money sign to King Corbin saying, "I want my money." But what exactly does it mean to take out Matt Riddle? Put him on the shelf? Just knock him out? This is very ambiguous. There's no defined parameters. We don't know how much a king's ransom is. We don't know what it means to take him out. Define this stuff. It's not. I'm fine with a bounty on Matt Riddle's head. It keeps it interesting. That's a good one. I like it. But be specific. I don't know. But Chad Gable turning heel? Fine. It's fine. Whatever. I think that Chad Gable needed a little bit of kick in the pants, or the shorts in this case, because of his just incessant great performances, but no character depth, which is where the same path that Drew Gulak's on. But it certainly is intriguing to see Chad Gable as a heel for the first time in a long time. So we will have to see how far and long this goes. I like, if it is indeed an alignment, a true heel turn, we need Corbin to have cronies. We need him to have backup. If this is the case, fine. Absolutely move on with Chad Gable into heel territory. Test it out. Just because he's a short guy and the underdog doesn't mean you automatically have to make him a babyface. If you remember, I have no idea why I'm thinking about this. Was it the Italian Americans? I forget the name of that group. They eventually feuded with The Undertaker, but it had Nunzio. You guys remember Nunzio, who was the leader of the group? He was basically an Italian mafia ripoff was that group. Having him out there, he was the short guy of the group, but he could talk and you still wanted to punch him in the face. You didn't care that he was always the underdog. You didn't care about that. You still wanted to see him get his ass kicked. That is exactly what we have here with Chad Gable. If he can talk, I'm interested to see what his heel character looks like. So we'll have to venture into that territory as we get on in the coming weeks here.
You're listening to the WWE Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
So if you guys are looking to just kind of relax and watch something that takes your mind off of what may be going on, then check out the YouTube channel called Sevience. That's S-E-V-I-E-N-C-E, Sevience. So what exactly is this? Well, you get to watch the creator walk through SpongeBob Rehydrated and SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom. And even if you're not a SpongeBob fan, this is a lot of fun to watch. I found myself watching this for a good 20, 30 minutes, and it was able to kind of just de-stress from my day. The host also has a really calming voice, so if you like that, that certainly does add to the experience of just setting the tone and making this an enjoyable experience. So check out Sevience, S-E-V-I-E-N-C-E on YouTube. Give it a like, give it a subscribe. You'll know it's the right one because it has a blue background and a yellow smiley face. Again, guys, we could all use a de-stressor. And that's exactly what this did. It's enjoyable, it's very listenable, and it just takes you out of your world if you need to zone out. So again, check out Sevience on YouTube today. Hey, so do you guys have a craving for learning? Do you feel like maybe you're a little stagnant and falling behind in your business or your career? Do you feel like maybe that extra knowledge will be able to put you ahead of the competition? Then check out onyx.global. onyx.global. This is not an online course, right? This is a personal curriculum customized to what you need to know. The really cool thing about this is that you can choose any topic that you want to learn more about. These aren't just a pre-selected amount of topics that you have to choose from. So head over to the website, onyx.global, onyx.global. And there's a short video that when you go there and you click on the Academy at the top, it'll play a video for you that is extremely engaging. And what I'm going to do here is just let you listen to the audio from it. And I'd really encourage you to go to onyx.global now to check out more information. These guys are just getting off the ground. And this is going to be huge, guys, I'm telling you. So take a listen and check them out.
What is the Onyx Learner Academy? It's the next century digital experience that gives you the tools you need to learn any topic on your own. Any field, any profession, any passion. Become an expert in your field on your time. This is not an online course. This is a digital revolution that uses strategic thinking to help you develop self-determined learning skills that last your whole life. We teach you how to learn on your own. Through a groundbreaking 9-step process, you'll be guided through your own personal learning journey. What that journey is and where it takes you is completely up to you. Our content is divided into distinct, easily digestible sections that progressively bring you toward learning mastery. That's right, you can start becoming a master in any field today. And with interactive graphics, videos, and robust informational content, you'll be well on your way to building your talent stack and achieving your dreams. Are you ready for life's journey? Enroll in the Onyx Learner Academy today and face tomorrow with confidence.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
All right, guys, let's get back to the SmackDown take that I had this week. And, you know, some of the things that happened on SmackDown that I want to talk about. And we'll talk about Raw, of course, even though, I mean, I did a full Raw review this week, so we're not going to dive deep into it, but some kind of closing thoughts on it. So SmackDown, look, Otis is back. Otis and Mandy are back. Does anybody care? It's sad because of where Otis was and how he felt like he was going to be a big star on that team. And the team went nowhere because Vince decided to supersede the need for a great tag team for a comedy guy that they could have some laughs with. And he became Mr. Money in the Bank, which is all but forgotten. But we shouldn't forget it because they didn't display the briefcase, which is, I think, very purposeful. So that you forget that he's Mr. Money in the Bank. So when he actually cashes in, it's a surprise. I didn't forget. I hope you guys don't forget that he actually is the Money in the Bank briefcase holder. Let that sink in. It's this. All right. But him and Mandy are backstage as he always says, my peach. And he does his silly nonsense that is just becoming less and less fun as we go. And Mandy is shown getting ready. And in the mirror with some lipstick behind her, Sonya Deville shows up and attacks Mandy from behind, puts lipstick all over her face and takes scissors and starts, lopping her hair off. And I liked how Michael Cole addressed the fact that this was a promo several weeks back that Sonya Deville cut, saying that she was going to make Mandy as ugly on the outside as she is on the inside. And I like that. I like how Sonya is fulfilling her threats. That she is going to make Mandy's life a living hell. That she's not going to go away. I like that. That's, I think, that's very good they're following up on this. Because we all forgot about it. Or at least thought it was over. And it's not over. And having the Miz and Morrison, again, doing their comedy stick about how many puns can we make referencing hair loss, right? How many times can we do that? It was, I will give it this. It was interesting in the fact that I did not expect this feud to continue, but Sonya Deville is so good and she's shown what she can do on the mic that I want more of her because she's so good. I don't want any more of Otis and Mandy. And you know what? Like, while we were kind of rooting for them to get together, it's kind of one of those be careful what you wish for things. And I'm sure WWE would say, well, you wanted us to do this, so you do this. We did this, and then we do it, and you don't want it. Which is what their belief is with Roman Reigns, which is a complete farce and completely just wrong with Roman Reigns. But, I won't go down that road. But, yeah, we wanted Otis and Mandy together, but we don't want Otis as a comedy act. So comedy that we have to see visions or daydreams that WWE is somehow able to record. Somehow they have just super advanced technology that they can record daydreams of Otis being in Mandy's dream of coming out of a pool and being so sopping wet and they make out. I mean, it's just stupid. It's stupid. That's the problem they did. They completely whiffed on the Otis character. It's exactly what they did. But Mandy Rose here got her hair lopped off. I expect her next week to be coming out in some kind of shorter hairstyle. And I don't know if it's a hair versus hair match. I would assume that it's hair versus hair. And maybe we have Mandy Rose come out on top, where Sonya Deville is the one shaved bald at SummerSlam. I think we saw this too. When did we see this last with women? Was it Ivory and Molly Holly? I know Molly Holly got shaved at one point, but I mean that's the last time I can remember any kind of women's hair versus hair. Maybe it was Molly Holly. If you remember, she was a part of Right to Censor with Steven Richards and Bull Buchanan. And I think that is the last time that she was, or the women were involved in any kind of hair versus hair. So it'll be interesting to see, because, and what's even funnier, Mandy Rose attacks Mandy Rose from behind. Not really from behind, because she kind of saw her in the mirror first. So it was kind of I don't know if really from behind is accurate. And unexpectedly attacked. How about that? And we have nobody around, right? Mandy Rose is getting pounded on the concrete floor, getting punched in the face, kicked. And the referees don't do anything, right? They don't do anything. Or whoever's around, we don't see them. As soon as Sonya Deville picks up those clippers to cut Mandy Rose's hair, everyone's like, hey, wait, that's going a little too far. You're going a little too far now. Slamming someone's skull into the concrete, that's okay. We'll let that slide. But cutting someone's hair off, I'm sorry, that's where we draw the line. And you could say, well, maybe they didn't get there until exactly that time. Nonsense. No, it's completely false. But it's just funny. Like, they stopped her there. Not slamming someone's skull into a concrete floor. No, that's okay. But we draw the line at cutting your hair. And I get it. They're setting up for a SummerSlam, probably hair versus hair match, which is fine. It's fine. And because I actually am intrigued in this feud, not because of Mandy Rose, certainly not because of Otis, but because of one individual, of Sonya Deville being absolutely brilliant on the mic. And hopefully she's back now as they revive this story and probably bring it to a conclusive end at SummerSlam. Sheamus made a declaration that he's moving on, saying that Jeff Hardy's no longer his problem because his demons will overcome him, and that it was a handicap match because Jeff and alcohol are one and the same. I guess it's as good of a heel promo as you could cut, given the fact that you lost clean to Jeff Hardy. And I say clean in quotation marks because Jeff Hardy apparently has superpowers now. I mean, maybe it was truly alcohol powers. We'll have to see if that ever bears itself again, showing Jeff Hardy basically hulking up and last week in the bar fight. And when his contacts changed to white, that's when he hulked up. I mean, how the hell that happened? That's never happened in Jeff Hardy's entire career. Maybe alcohol does do that to him. Maybe bars do give him some kind of superpower, and Sheamus is right. But Sheamus made a declaration that he is moving on, and that's bad news for the rest of the locker room. So I think we can say that we're all glad that Sheamus and Jeff Hardy is coming to an end. It wasn't the worst feud. I think the problem is the content of the feud, right? It's the content of the feud that I think bothered me the most. And we also had King Corbin interrupt Jeff Hardy before. And can we just please move on from Jeff Hardy's struggle with alcohol, right? Please. We have to have and know and define Jeff Hardy more than just, yeah, he's an addict. Okay, we're owning it. We get it. You're owning the fact that he was arrested many times. He has a problem with alcohol. We get it. Okay, can we move on beyond his identity as an alcoholic? I get it, and I understand it, and I know why they're trying to own it. But to me, it was just a little bit, it's a little much. How much more can you milk this you're a junkie thing? Okay, if he was truly a junkie, do you think that's a good look on WWE? Do you think that's a good look on WWE and their wellness policy to have an actual junkie in there, or a perceived junkie performing live, putting other people's lives at risk on TV on a weekly basis? Yeah, I don't think so, right? And so anyway, okay, moving on. Naomi defeats Lacey Evans in a match here where Evans made fun of the hashtag Naomi deserves better. That's pretty funny. Lacey Evans is now a heel, which she turned heel during the karaoke spot out of all spots to turn heel. And the most, you know, typically when you have a heel turn, even if it's a minor one, it's done in some kind of significant spot, right? Somebody's maybe a number one contendership, maybe a championship match. But no, Lacey Evans' heel turn comes in a pointless, silly karaoke spot because she's mad she lost. And Naomi defeated Lacey, and it was, I mean, I don't know what to make of the match. Naomi and Lacey didn't really show a whole lot because I don't think they were given a whole lot of time. But this is not over. I think Lacey Evans was a little bit surprised. We are all back to being nasties, by the way. So you're a nasty, I'm a nasty, everyone's nasty. We're forgetting that she was in the military. We're forgetting that she is a mom. All of that goes by the wayside because she's a heel. So, I mean, let's move on here. So that pretty much covered up SmackDown. But with Raw, you know, again, I had a full review last Monday or Tuesday about Monday Night Raw. So, again, you'll hear my full Raw review on Tuesday. And I don't think I really touched on the RKO on Drew McIntyre. Somehow I didn't. I don't know. I got lost in my own brain, which is not surprising. But we had an RKO out of nowhere on Drew McIntyre, which I think we all kind of saw coming. And I'm fine with it because this program between Drew and Randy is it's so fascinating of where this could go and so many different ways that it could end up. Because there's a case to be made for both men winning. There's a case to be made for Drew of he's coming off a WrestleMania win against Brock Lesnar. He's on fire right now. We should make him a long-term champion because the fans have been clamoring for him to be champion for a long time. He's also doing a very good job, by the way. It wasn't just okay, fans, we're going to do what you want and see how it works out and it flops. No, the fans were right all along, and Drew McIntyre is making an excellent, excellent WWE champion. They don't overexpose him. He's used sparingly, and he feels authentic. He feels like a real champion. Doesn't feel like a Seth Rollins beating Brock Lesnar champion of being somebody he's not. This is excellent. So there's a case, and also there's a case to be made for Randy Orton. Randy Orton winning the championship. There is nobody hotter as a heel in WWE right now than Randy Orton. Certainly, there's not. I think you could argue he's hotter than Drew McIntyre right now. Randy, you could argue, again, a lot of arguments here, but you could make a case. Randy Orton is on the run of his career. Yeah, Randy Orton's had a lot of great moments, a lot of good WrestleMania moments. Obviously, the run with Legacy, the run with Evolution, probably his most well-known run, are just absolutely important foundational blocks of his career. But Randy Orton taking all that knowledge from 20 years and being able to hone in on exactly what this heel character is and feel comfortable 100% in what this character is, it's showing. And he's motivated. And, you know, Edge is lurking. And, you know, Christian's out there somewhere and Big Show's out there somewhere. To me, if I was going to pick, I'd say Randy Orton needs the belt. It's also not uncommon. It's not uncommon, guys, to have a WrestleMania to SummerSlam reign, and it ended at SummerSlam. It's very common. That gives fans, a good 4 or 5 months to, well, hold on, it's April to August, usually early April to late August, so almost 5 months of fans to celebrate with their baby faces. Now, we have also no idea when we're going back to live format with real fans to celebrate with McIntyre. So if McIntyre loses it, the fans aren't going to be up in arms because they're not there to celebrate with him anyway. So fans will get that moment eventually when they're back and Drew is back in the title picture and we're in a live format. So to me, Randy Orton should be the victor here. I will be kind of a little bit disappointed if Randy Orton doesn't win at SummerSlam. So that is that. And obviously, touch on Seth Rollins. I don't know what more to say. This guy is just, he is almost as hot, but not quite, as Randy Orton. Has certainly redeemed himself since WrestleMania and since the loss, not Backlash, but Money in the Bank, he lost to Drew McIntyre and lost at WrestleMania to Kevin Owens, who is MIA. Where the hell is Kevin Owens, by the way? So Seth Rollins, in his program with Rey Mysterio, outperformed, I think, almost everyone's expectations of what that program would be. They killed it on the mic. I think they killed it in execution. The eye for an eye match was a big downer because of the obvious stipulation that's just preposterous. But it was, I think, overall well done, and overall helped Rey Mysterio, or helped, yeah, even Rey Mysterio, even Dominic, who showed a lot of fire Monday night fighting back against Seth Rollins, and helped Seth Rollins' career. This whole thing, I think, has been a positive. Despite the criticism of the eye for an eye, it was so well told that it was, I think, an asset and a positive to all involved, despite the silliness of the eye for an eye. So I enjoy Seth and his brutal beatdowns. The thing is, and I mentioned this on my Raw review, Seth Rollins isn't the one instigating these things. Seth Rollins didn't pick the eye for an eye stipulation. Rey Mysterio did. Seth was just doing what he needed to do to win the match. Would the announcers have criticized Rey Mysterio if he had done that? No. The answer is no. Also, Dominic attacked Seth Rollins when he pleaded him not to. Seth is not instigating the violence. He may be going too far in retaliation. You could argue, although I wouldn't. But the logic here is a bit flawed, where the announcers can't really speak against Rollins for self-defense. And Dominic knew what he was getting into, so isn't he the fool? Isn't Dominic the fool, knowing that he's outnumbered and that he's inexperienced? It's just, it's a little backwards in that storytelling. It's still working because of how great Seth and Murphy work and how brutal the beatdowns are. So there's a little bit of a deodorant for those mistakes in story. But Seth didn't own the eye for an eye match. He didn't say he enjoyed it. Byron Saxton implied that he deep down did. Why the hell Seth Rollins never owned the fact that he enjoyed pulling out Rey Mysterio's eye and that it brought him some kind of like sick, twisted enjoyment made no sense to me. They didn't capitalize on that. Why Seth Rollins didn't smile at the end of that match and give an evil grin and be satisfied and happy with himself of what he's done instead of being concerned and showing empathy and throwing up was just made zero, zero, zero sense. Zero. Despite all of those, to me, missteps, I think Dominic, Murphy, Aleister Black, and Seth Rollins have all been elevated by that story, despite all of that. So that, I think that's a testament to the performers and how well they've done. Wrestlers. Jeez. I almost got brainwashed there by corporate. The wrestlers. So I've enjoyed it. Monday Night Raw has been... I know, despite the ratings, I've enjoyed Monday Night Raw. Despite people's criticisms of Monday Night and the ratings, seriously, the historic lows, I've loved Monday Night Raw for the most part. For the most part, it's been a show that has exceeded what I thought WWE could do, especially given these times. All right, some questions from listeners. And then I've got AEW to actually talk about, which is crazy, right? We're going to get to some AEW thoughts in a minute. But I have somebody on Instagram who messaged me, James. He says, absolutely agree with the tag division that really needs work its way back to the heights it once was. And I agree, Angel and Andrade are a great fit in the division. In my opinion, WWE seems to be streaming through a lot of background stories going on and rushing them without enough time to develop into anything significant, much like the tag titles. For example, the Raw tag team titles have almost been made a joke out of almost since the start of the pre-taped shows. With the heel versus heel, I too struggle to find myself invested in these matchups. However, Angel doesn't seem to me to be your typical heel. I may be alone in feeling like this, but he is a heel I would almost call a babyface on the fence. I know I'm supposed to hate him, but I just can't really... But he's just not really done anything to make me feel that way. Almost the second coming of Dean Ambrose, WWE tells me to boo, but I can't help but want to cheer. So thanks, James, for the question, or really the comment. It wasn't really a question. I agree. Angel Garza has a little bit of a charm to him, which WWE has clearly identified and tried to have him swoon Charlie Caruso every single week, buying him flowers and talking about making love and all that weird stuff. He has a charm to him. He has a certain charm. And he reminds me of Eddie Guerrero, not necessarily Dean Ambrose. I think he's got the Eddie Guerrero grin. He's got a little bit of that just charisma from Eddie Guerrero. I'm not saying he is Eddie Guerrero. Certainly there's not going to be another, nor should there be. But he has that certain feeling to him that is gravitating. It's gravitational. So if you were going to make me choose between Andrade and Angel Garza, I'm choosing Angel Garza in terms of my babyface versus the heel Andrade. It's just going to be interesting. How does Zelina deal with it? Hopefully, I mean, honestly, this is not even something that we have to talk about or see come to fruition, because this team hasn't even got off the ground. So that's my thoughts. Another obviously comes in, and I say obviously because one of the biggest listeners here, DJ Kuzmo, says in an email here, Chad Gable, a possible heel turn before a Matt Riddle heel turn? Yeah. I mean, I think we saw that come to fruition on SmackDown with Chad Gable turning heel. It's surprising, but looking at it, I understand it. They've done a lot with Chad Gable as far as what they think they can do. Doesn't mean that's the only thing they can do. That's just what they think they could do, and that they've squeezed all the juice out of a babyface Chad Gable. I would strongly, strongly disagree, but they think it is. And Matt Riddle just came in as a babyface, right? They got to let this breathe. I think he's better as a heel. He screams heel. Matt Riddle screams heel as an obnoxious kind of frat boy D-bag, doesn't he? Kind of that surfer boy, not highly intelligent, just athletic, somehow gets the girl, but he's as, smart as a bag of rocks. That's the way Matt Riddle comes off. And I'm not downplaying him. I think he's an amazing athlete. He is obviously intelligent, but he has that aura. He screams heel to me. But I think they'll let the babyface character flesh out. He also asks, is Alexa Bliss Sister Abigail? I talked about this earlier. I don't think she is. It really wouldn't make any sense to me. I want her to join him, but I don't want her to be revealed as Sister Abigail, because there's way too much to untangle from that. Like, how could you possibly explain that over the last how many years? It just wouldn't make sense. Rumors of SummerSlam moving to a location and being a two-night event. I addressed that earlier. Is the hacker coming back? There was a glitch here during the Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville segment, which I thought was my TV. Yeah, me too. I thought it was my TV or that she hit the camera. I think the hacker's coming back. The hacker interfered during this, so I think the hacker is going to return for a some kind of revealing segment here. So yes, I miss the hacker. Don't you? I really do. I'm being sincere. I really am. When will Kenny Omega and Hangman turn on each other? So here's the thing. I don't watch AEW enough to know that answer. I only catch highlights of AEW. So sorry, DJ, I can't answer that. I will turn that over to my AEW review team. So, Matt Cardona, i.e. Zack Ryder, did debut. I did see that. So that's a good thing. I think he's going to fit in well. He's kept himself in great shape, if not in better shape than he was in WWE. Props to him. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break. On the other side, though, I got to talk about MJF. I really do. This guy is going to be a huge deal in AEW and a huge deal in professional wrestling as a whole, as an industry. I'm super excited about MJF, and I'll tell you why right after this. Hey, so do you guys have a craving for learning? Do you feel like maybe you're a little stagnant and falling behind in your business or your career? Do you feel like maybe that extra knowledge will be able to put you ahead of the competition? Then check out onyx.global, onyx.global. This is not an online course, right? This is a personal curriculum customized to what you need to know. The really cool thing about this is that you can choose any topic that you want to learn more about. These aren't just a pre-selected amount of topics that you have to choose from. So head over to the website, onyx.global, onyx.global, and there's a short video that when you go there and you click on the Academy at the top, It'll play a video for you that is extremely engaging. And what I'm going to do here is just let you listen to the audio from it. And I'd really encourage you to go to onyx.global now to check out more information. These guys are just getting off the ground. And this is going to be huge, guys. I'm telling you. So take a listen and check them out.
What is the Onyx Learner Academy? It's the next century digital experience that gives you the tools you need to learn any topic on your own, any field, any profession, any passion. Become an expert in your field on your time. This is not an online course. This is a digital revolution that uses strategic thinking to help you develop self-determined learning skills that last your whole life. We teach you how to learn on your own. Through a groundbreaking 9-step process, you'll be guided through your own personal learning journey. What that journey is and where it takes you is completely up to you. Our content is divided into distinct, easily digestible sections that progressively bring you toward learning mastery. That's right, you can start becoming a master in any field today. And with interactive graphics, videos, and robust informational content, you'll be well on your way to building your talent stack and achieving your dreams. Are you ready for life's journey? Enroll in the Onyx Learner Academy today and face tomorrow with confidence.
So if you guys are looking to just kind of relax and watch something that takes your mind off of what may be going on, then check out the YouTube channel called Sevience. That's S-E-V-I-E-N-C-E, Sevience. So what exactly is this? Well, you get to watch the creator walk through SpongeBob Rehydrated and SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom. And even if you're not a SpongeBob fan, this is a lot of fun to watch. I found myself watching this for a good 20-30 minutes, and it was able to kind of just de-stress from my day. The host also has a really calming voice, so if you like that, that certainly does add to the experience of just setting the tone and making this an enjoyable experience. So check out Sevience, S-E-V-I-E-N-C-E on YouTube. Give it a like, give it a subscribe. You'll know it's the right one because it has a blue background and a yellow smiley face. Again, guys, we could all use a de-stressor. And that's exactly what this did. It's enjoyable, it's very listenable, and it just takes you out of your world if you need to zone out. So, again, check out Sevience on YouTube today.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
Okay, let's talk about MJF. I do not talk about AEW on the show. I leave that to our AEW team of Brian and Jeff, who do an excellent job. By the way, you can catch their AEW reviews every single Thursday and their SmackDown reviews every single Friday, or Saturday, rather. It aired Friday, but it drops on Saturday. So, you know, MJF is a guy that I've been casually following for a while. MJF, Maxwell Jeffrey Freeman, has been a guy that I've seen pictures of, I've seen highlights of. He pops up on my Facebook every once in a while for a video or a YouTube clip or whatever. And I've been following him, and this guy just, he is just so obnoxious, right? He is, kind of the, I wouldn't say, he's not your typical heel, but you immediately look at him and you know heel. There's nothing about him that you look at him and go, oh, what a great dude. And he is, if not the best heel AEW has right now. And yes, there's Jericho, late champion, right? We got it. There's Sammy Guevara. And there is Brody Lee, who is leader of the Dark Order. But this man, MJF, has probably one of the best promos, cut one of the best promos I've maybe ever heard. Not ever. I mean, I'm not saying this is number one, but it is certainly a attention-grabbing, probably a promo of the year candidate. Easy promo of the year candidate. And didn't stutter. He didn't flinch. He incorporated some puns that were relevant. He didn't read or memorize his lines. This guy has it, and he's undefeated. Undefeated in singles competition. You talk about building heat. You talk about building heat. I want to have you guys listen to some of this promo. If you haven't heard it, I know this is the WWE podcast. I understand that. But I think we can all say that we love the sport of professional wrestling. If you're here, if you're especially this late in the podcast, you are a you are certainly a fan of professional wrestling. And I don't think it should be you having to choose between AEW or WWE. Why can't you like both? I don't understand. So, all right. Well, here comes a little bit of the promo from MJF. This is this was during his state of, well, not the State of the Union, but maybe the state of AEW. And just listen to this freaking brilliance.
The reason I'm never spotlighted 2 weeks in a row is because a certain individual is afraid of being upstaged 2 weeks in a row. And that is why it is time for a change in leadership around here. Change. It's a powerful word I just used. I remember when this company first started, I saw men calling for change. One man in particular called for a paradigm shift. He said he wanted out with the old and in with the new. Well, I don't know about you people, but a guy on top of the card who gets to do whatever he wants, say whatever he wants, and wrestle whoever he wants, simply because he came from the place of titans, isn't new. That's old hat, brother.
All right, so we're going to pause right there. I mean, I'm going to go through this promo a little bit more, but I mean, he's referring to Jon Moxley, Dean Ambrose, the place of titans. Right? He's not going to say explicitly WWE. But this is just freaking brilliant. And I wish this was in front of a live crowd. I really do. So let's continue with this a little bit. I want you to hear the rest of this.
Revolution and has unfortunately turned into a dictatorship. And that is why Jon Moxley is not my champion. Now, hold on, people. I cannot tell a lie. Absolutely. I will not stand here and pretend that Jon Moxley isn't one of the greatest wrestlers our great sport has ever seen. However, I feel it's high time that we as a society have an honest discussion about all the negative side effects that have occurred ever since the Moxley reign has started. Wrestling. It's on the marquee, and yet people, where is it? All I see is a bunch of great wrestlers having to come out here and perform gymnastics, flip-flop and fly and or almost die in an attempt to make you, the viewers at home, think they're good at their job? That's just wrong. But I don't blame you, AEW fans. You see, you have been brainwashed into thinking that that is what good professional wrestling is. And that brainwashing starts all the way at the tippy top. And that is why, Jonathan, a world champion is supposed to lead by example. He is not supposed to let his roster mates come out here and play wrestle, and he's damn sure not supposed to come out here and cosplay as a specific wrestler, and that's a stone-cold fact.
Oh, my God. I'll stop it there. I mean, there's 3 minutes left in the promo. I'm not gonna sit here for three more minutes or make you guys sit here for three more minutes, but to me, that was the money line of the promo. Talking about that we're supposed to be wrestling. Well, where is it? Right? Where is this wrestling? All I see is gymnastics, flip-flop and fly. I could not have said it better. This promo is getting a ton of attention on social media, as it should. Probably the best promo that I've felt or seen in years, barring Edge's promos that he did leading up to WrestleMania and still continues to do. But from a reality perspective, holy cow. I mean, MJF right now is on another planet. Everyone else is here. And then like it's MJF and everyone else when it comes to promos right now. And there are some talented guys on the roster that can cut promos, no doubt. Jon Moxley is one of them, although not as eloquent or as well-spoken as MJF. That's not his style. But MJF is in another stratosphere right now. And to me, that is just, it's so telling. It's so telling of the sport of wrestling right now. For him to call it out is brilliant. God almighty, I really hope WWE was watching that. Triple H, somebody was watching that. It was brilliant. I've watched it like five times now. It's so well done. He doesn't trip over a single word. Not one. Ugh. That is wrestling, man. He's talking about just the problems with the industry. It's awesome. And he's a heel. I still want to see him get his ass kicked. But yet he's speaking the truth. It's great. It is awesome. Okay, I'm done putting it over. But all right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed the week in review here. I was supposed to have a co-host. They couldn't make it. So we'll have some makeup time this week. I have a feeling that in my next couple of shows we'll have a co-host or two. So no worries. If you're tired of my voice, we will get some reprieve from others. So no worries there. But guys, thank you again for listening. Hit us up on YouTube. I'm actually on YouTube. There's no real video, but we put our podcast on YouTube. Video will be coming soon. But hit up our podcast or our website at WWEpodcast.com and on Instagram at WWE_podcast. And I'll be back Tuesday with your Raw review. So guys, thanks again. I'll talk to you soon.